Thank you, Ray. Should have come up this end. There's a bit of feedback going on up there. Can you find it, Ray? Okay, seems to have stopped now. Good morning, everybody. Are we all good? So, Matt, just help me move this up here. Just away from them. I don't want to blast everybody's ears. Thank you. Hopefully, it won't do it again. So today, I want to talk to you about how attractive is your fruit to others. We've been talking a lot about the fruit of the Spirit and about living out our faith. And, you know, a couple of Sundays ago, Sue spoke to us about the battle that goes on between our flesh and the Spirit. If you remember, she explained why allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us each day helps us to grow the fruit of the Spirit that we've all got inside of us. And that, you know, that fruit that we have is for others, to help grow relationships, to show others how they can live differently with God. And you know what? Sue started a great Bible study this week on the fruit of the Spirit. And on Wednesday, we looked at love and joy and why they are so important to us. And Sue will be continuing this study group over the next weeks. And you know what? As leaders, we really want to encourage you to come along, you know, because we never stop learning or having fresh insight. God is always revealing something new, no matter how many times we may have read or studied a subject. And with that in mind this morning, I want to challenge us to take an honest look at how well we're displaying our fruit. So if Jed can put up slide one for me, please. Okay. So is your fruit bright and plump and attractive, like this side? Or is it a bit shriveled up and past its best? I'm guessing most of you will have looked in the mirror this week. Did you like what you see? Slide two. Do you have a different face depending on which day of the week it is? Is your Sunday morning face different to your Monday morning face? And is your Monday face different to your Friday face? Just a bit of fun, but it's worth thinking about. And when things get tough in the week and times of stress creep in, how do you react? Are you full of joy and peace and smile no matter what? Are you tetchy and grumpy? Do you moan and complain? You know, I have to have a bit of a confession here, ladies and gents. I was a bit tetchy and grumpy yesterday, wasn't I, Ray? I was. Ray's been poorly all week. He's had a bad chest infection, so we've not been able to go out or do anything, and I was getting a bit frustrated because we were stuck in, and I got a bit tetchy. And you know, he's done nothing wrong, bless him. He's just been poorly all week, and I got a bit tetchy and grumpy with him. But God spoke to me about it, and I've confessed it here this morning. It can easily, things like that can easily creep in, can't they? We have to watch ourselves all the time. Can you keep a still tongue when things get tough? Can you take a deep breath, count to five, and then just smile and say, how can we resolve this situation? Or is that beyond you? You know, stress, tiredness, worry, anxiety, weariness, it all shows on our face and it affects our behaviour and how we speak and deal with others. And it's really important that we manage our sleep well. We get exercise, we get fresh air, we eat well. But most importantly of all is that we spend quality time with God in prayer and in the Word. Let's have a look at a scripture. We're going to look at Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. Should we be on a slide? And it says this. I think my wording is slightly different to what it said. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has given you. and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and your minds. Sorry, your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Great scripture. So in other words, don't mull and worry about the stuff that's going on in your life. But instead, take all your needs to God and then trust him with them. Get singing his praises and thanking him for answered prayers and for all the blessings in your life. Why not start a praise journal? Write down all the things that you're thankful for in life. Write down all the prayers that you've seen answered. There is nothing more uplifting than looking back at answered prayers, is there, where God's moved and done something. And you know, when we shift our focus to the positives in our life and we really focus on all the good stuff, we'll start to feel so much better about all our situations. It's a bit like, you know, when we were little, if we had a problem, we didn't really worry about it. We'd just take it to our mum and dad or an older sibling or a friend because we knew that they could solve it for us. You know, and it should be the same with God. We've just been singing this morning, haven't we? I will rest in your promises. My confidence is in your faithfulness. I'll run to the Father. You know, it's all about going to God with our stuff. Mark reminded us last week that God puts faith into our hearts, but it's up to us to apply it in our walk with God. In Philippians, God warns us against stress, worry, and anxiety because it affects our ability to love others. It affects our ability to live in joy and peace. It takes away our hope and it turns our fruit bad. And if we can't bear or display our fruit, then we can't share it with others. If you think about fruit, if it's ripe, it looks good, it smells good, and it tastes wonderful. But if it's rotten, we screw up our faces, don't we? We avoid it, we don't want to touch it. And if our fruit of the Spirit isn't blooming, we then become ineffective, not able to help ourselves, let alone anyone else. And you know what? How does that glorify God and his church? Well, it doesn't. It won't encourage anybody to come along. So what's the best way to get a healthy, balanced, God-centered life? Well, Jesus tells us, doesn't he? We put God first, to love him with all our hearts. That means including him in everything that we do. But, you know, if we're being really honest, how many of us actually do that with every area of our life? You know, how many times have we said over the years, oh, I wish I could spend more time with God or more time in prayer or I need to read my Bible more. But what we do instead is let our hearts and minds get distracted by the world we live in. We start to conform to this world and let it eat away our time and energies. Exactly the thing that Paul tells us in Romans not to do. Let's look at Romans 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behaviour and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. To combat the distractions in this world, you know, we have to be intentional and we have to be disciplined. We have to set boundaries in each of our days and weeks and plan our time wisely. Tracy and I have just finished our first money coaching course in January, and we encouraged all the delegates to take a good look at their spending habits and review all their financial commitments, to make a weekly, monthly, and annual plan for their spending. Do you know, but I thought we should be doing that with our faith walks. How healthy do our weekly timetables look? And how many times does God get our attention? Daily, weekly, monthly? Take a look at your daily routines and habits. Can you do things differently? How much time do you spend with God? And how much time do you spend watching TV? How much time do you spend reading your Bible compared to how much time you spend on Facebook, YouTube, or the internet? Those questions challenge, don't they? They certainly squeezed me. We can all create more space in our days to spend time with God if we really choose to. None of us should say, I don't have the time, because we do, Honestly, we really do. But we let our own desires, the flesh, and this world influence us and how we spend our time. Let me share a story. A lady was praying one day, and the Lord gave her a vision. She saw God walking into a people's home, ready to spend time with them, to talk to them and to have fellowship. And he got himself a chair and he sat down at a table. And the people got up and they came and they went and they came and they went. And they kept saying to God, "Stay there, just stay there for a little while, God. As soon as I've got this done, I'll sit down and talk to you." The end of the day came, and the lady's heart broke as she saw God leave the home with slumped shoulders. No one had come and talked to him that day. And you know, that can easily be us. We have intentions to speak to God, to pray, to read our Bible, but then we get distracted with other things. If we really, really want God to change us and to empower us, so that we can serve him well and be who he created us to be, then we have to spend time with God every day in prayer, in the word, and in praise. How did you all feel after we'd finished praising this morning? You're singing them songs and you're in tune with God. It uplifts you, doesn't it? It encourages you. By doing this, our fruit will start to bloom and grow. We'll handle life better, our relationships better. If you don't have time to pray and spend time with God, you need to restructure your days. It's that simple. God is never too busy for us. In Philippians, Paul reminds us again of how we should be living as Christians and what that should be saying to others who don't belong to Christ. So we're going to look at Philippians 2, verses 1 to 4. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than at yourselves. Don't look out for only your own interests, but take interest in others too. And then a little bit further on, in verses 13 to 15, it says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people." We have to be different to everybody else. You know, the world that we live in has never been as messy, I don't think, as hurting, as confused, or as selfish. And you know, I believe modern technology has had a lot to play in that. It's so powerful and so alluring. It gets people's attention like nothing else has ever done in history. We only have to walk down the street, don't we? Or walk into a restaurant or just watch people next time you're driving, if you're in a passenger in a car. And count how many people have phones in their hands, constantly distracted by the pa-ding on the phone. If you put slide 8 up. I put these two photographs up because, you know, so often we see people in groups like the top one, not talking to one another, on the phones, texting, messaging, doing whatever. I'd rather see people like this, sat down, engaging, talking to one another, encouraging one another. It's so much more healthier. And we're now starting to read about the impact that phones and media are having on our children. And we're seeing firsthand a generation of kids with mental health issues like never before. They need something more. The fruit of the Spirit is so evidently needed by the world today. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All these attributes are so very rarely seen, and yet we should be demonstrating these in abundance to all around us. You know, the church, that's you and me, has to be different. I was really impressed by how the people that came along on the Cap Money course engaged with one another. The phones were put away and they had to talk to one another. And after the initial awkwardness, they really did enjoy sharing ideas and chatting. We've all as a society become a bit lazy in conversing. You know, and I'm as guilty as anyone for sending a text instead of ringing up a person. And yet we all need and crave human face-to-face positive living interaction. When we get it, we thrive. The world today, it seems, is all about the self, isn't it? The I. And you know, media, marketing, consumerism, social media, it all feeds into this. It's giving us ideas of what they think we need, what we deserve, and how we should act and how we behave. Well, I'm telling you, don't fall for it. By putting God into our daily lives, by allowing him more of our head and heart space, by allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and prompt us, we can be counterculture. We can live differently and thrive. We can have peace and deep-rooted joy, and we can love the unlovable and show kindness and goodness. To stand out, we must be different, bringing love and encouragement where the world would bring hate and discouragement. We have to show and demonstrate to people how we handle life. And when the sting comes, and it will, what will show on your face? Will it be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Will we demonstrate our faith and trust in God and his promises? We really have to understand that when the Holy Spirit grows his fruit in us, yes, we'll benefit from it. But you know, more importantly, it's for the benefit of others. It's to draw people to us and then to God. When you see fruit, fruit doesn't eat itself. Fruit's there to be picked, to be enjoyed by others. And that's the same with the fruit of the Spirit. Are we prepared to praise him in all circumstances? Just like Paul and Silas did in Acts 16. You know, this is such a great story of, well, it's not an example, let's say, not story, of how spending time with God, despite the circumstances we face, by praying and praising and taking our eyes off our circumstances, which, you know, will really easily rob you of your peace, joy and hope, we can impact others. Let's have a read of this together. It's quite a long one, but it's good, so... Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to get out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. Now, when her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. What a story. Paul and Silas, going about their business, speaking and praying with people, end up stripped, beaten, and in prison for healing a young girl of an evil spirit. They hadn't done anything wrong. And you know, they could have easily complained and turned their back on God. But instead, they dug down deep. They prayed and they sang their hearts out to God despite their circumstances. They trusted God and they applied faith. And because of that, God broke down the doors and released their chains. And they preached to their fellow inmates and the jailer, and they all came to faith. See, that fruit that was put in them wasn't for them. It was for everyone around them. Paul and Silas displayed their fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in awful circumstances. And God stepped in, and lives were saved and turned around. So I want you this morning to be encouraged. God has put faith in you. You have the fruit of spirit, and God has a plan and purpose for you. Get close to him, pray to him, sing his praises, but then get out there and show off your fruits. Because you know what? There's a whole world out there that's in desperate need of us and Jesus. Thank you.